Penguin Random House Canada presents The Moment, Standing Up to Bill Cosby, Speaking Up for Women, by Andrea Constand. Read for you by Tracy Hoyt. To Great Uncle Salvo, and to my Nona, Erminia d'Acquisto Morace, who embodied Salvo's legacy. Their presence in my life gave me the hope, faith, and courage to tell my story. One must resign oneself to the will of God at the cost of whatever pain or whatever sacrifice. Salvo d'Acquisto. Publisher's Note. In writing this book, Andrea Constand worked with an editor and fact-checker. Material about other accusers, as well as all trials and legal actions, was independently sourced through criminal trial transcripts, press reports, and other published accounts. All excerpts from police records or legal depositions were quoted from the publicly available records and transcripts of the two criminal trials. On June 30th, 2021, just as this book was on its way to the printer, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania overturned the 2018 conviction of Bill Cosby on a procedural issue. The decision hinged on a promise by the district attorney not to prosecute Mr. Cosby if he would agree to sit for a deposition in Ms. Constand's civil case against him. The DA never informed Ms. Constand and her attorneys of any conversations between the former prosecutor and Mr. Cosby or his then criminal counsel, nor was there any written agreement memorializing it. Mr. Cosby's testimony in the deposition later became key evidence in the criminal trial when the DA's successors pressed charges against him. The court ruled that the original promise was binding on any successors to the DA, and therefore they should not have brought a criminal case against him. The decision did not challenge any of the facts disclosed in the deposition or during the trial. Andrea Constand and her attorneys issued a statement in reaction to this decision. Timeline of events. Pre-2004. Winter 2001. I am named Director of Operations for Women's Basketball at Temple University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Fall 2002. I meet Bill Cosby, an alumnus and supporter of the men's and women's basketball programs at Temple. 2004. Early January. Bill Cosby drugs and assaults me at his Elkins Park, Pennsylvania home. March 31st. I leave Temple University to return to Toronto and enroll in a massage therapy course. 2005. January 13th. After I disclose my assault, my mother calls the Durham Regional Police to file a complaint. Three officers come to the house to take my statement. January 19th. A detective from the Cheltenham Township Police Department in Pennsylvania calls to discuss my statement, which was forwarded to him by the Durham Regional Police. January 21st. News of my allegation against Cosby appears in the press. January 22nd. I travel to Philadelphia to be interviewed by the Cheltenham Township Police. January 26th. In the New York City offices of his lawyers, Bill Cosby is also interviewed by the Cheltenham Township Police. February 8th. Tamara Green makes an allegation of assault by Cosby after my story breaks. February 9th. Cheltenham detectives come to Toronto to interview me a second time. February 17th. Bruce Castor, the Montgomery County District Attorney, announces that he will not bring charges against Bill Cosby. March 8th. My lawyers launch a civil suit against Cosby. Cosby is deposed September 28, 2005. 2006. June 9th. Barbara Bowman makes a public accusation of sexual assault by Cosby. November 8th. My civil suit against Cosby is settled. As part of the settlement, I sign a strict non-disclosure agreement. At the same time, I settle my defamation suit against his lawyer, Marty Singer, and the National Enquirer. 2014. October 16th. A video of comedian Hannibal Buress calling Bill Cosby a rapist goes viral. November. Several accusers go public with accusations against Cosby in this month. Joan Torres, Linda Joy Traits, Janice Dickinson, Therese Serenyes. 2015. March. Lisa Lott Lublin asks Nevada legislators to rescind the statute of limitations on sexual assault. April 23rd. Janice Baker Kinney publicly discloses her allegation of sexual assault by Cosby. April 30th. Lily Bernard goes public with her accusation of sexual assault by Cosby. July 6th. The Associated Press obtains portions of Cosby's deposition from my civil suit. In it, he admits to giving a woman quaaludes and then having sex with her. July 19th. The New York Times publishes a summary of the entire deposition. November 4th. Kevin Steele beats Bruce Castor to become the district attorney of Montgomery County. During the campaign, he was critical of Castor's failure to prosecute Cosby. December 30th. Bill Cosby is charged with 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault against me. 2016. May 24th. A Montgomery County District Court judge rules that the DA's criminal case against Cosby can move forward. Judge Stephen T. O'Neill is assigned to the case. 2017. January 21st. I attend the Women's March in Washington, D.C. Many other Cosby accusers are also there. June 5th. The first criminal trial of Bill Cosby begins. June 17th. After more than 50 hours of deliberations, the jury declares itself hopelessly deadlocked. The case ends in a mistrial. 2018. April 9th. Bill Cosby's second criminal trial begins. April 26th. Cosby is found guilty on all 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault. September 25th. Judge O'Neill sentences Cosby to 3 to 10 years in prison and designates him a sexually violent predator. He's immediately taken to State Correctional Institution Phoenix, a state prison in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. 2020. December 1st. Bill Cosby's appeal is heard. He maintains his innocence and has never shown remorse for his actions. 2021. June 30th. The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania overturns Bill Cosby's criminal conviction on a procedural issue. Cosby is released from prison the same day. Chapter 1. A Moment Lost. I was perched on the corner of my bed at my parents' cozy cottage-style house in Pickering, Ontario, as a chilly mid-February day faded outside. This place had been my refuge for almost a year now, ever since I'd returned from Philadelphia and my many years far from home. I was holding my cell phone to my ear, listening carefully. I'd known this conversation was coming, but there was part of me that wasn't quite ready to have it. A few hours earlier, I had been out running errands with my sister when my mother phoned. "Dolores is going to give you a call," she said. This was Dolores Troiani. She and Bibi Kivitz were my lawyers. Diana and I cut short our trip so I could be in the house when the call came. When we pulled into our quiet street, I knew that whatever my lawyers were going to tell me was big news. The road in front of our house was lined with vans and cars emblazoned with the logos of TV stations and newspapers. Reporters had been harassing my parents and me for weeks now. They called our home phone nonstop. They turned up on our doorstep at all times of the day and night. Sometimes they showed up en masse, like troops camped right outside our front door. That was the scene this day. Clearly, something major had just happened. Diana and I hadn't been in the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?